Kick us off whenever you're ready, baby cakes.
You got it. Welcome to Sticky Pickles. Ever found yourself stuck in a pickle, knee deep in a dilemma? Question is, what do you do now? I'm Maria.
And I'm Carol, and this is Season 6, Episode 9 of Sticky Pickles, Too Much Sugar, and the Bucket List. Ooh, I'm liking this. I'm liking this. Maria, you're first. You're first.
Okay.
Sweet, sweet Maria, tell me about Too Much Sugar.
Too much sugar. We're putting it in a bucket. No, it's Too Much Sugar is, we have Heidi.
And Heidi.
Heidi is an executive productivity consultant.
Sounds so fun.
It is a job title I just made up. I'm trying to think of a job that involves advising people who make literal billions of dollars, but you don't make billions yourself.
Right. Like a PA to a CEO or something. That kind of thing.
Yeah. But making like executive level money, but not as an executive. So I was thinking like a productivity consultant, maybe, because you know how executives are always like min-maxing, optimizing their time, trying to.
Yeah, I don't really, but
get a dime out of a whatever, you know.
I've seen it on TV. Yeah.
I just assume that's how they are. I mean, I don't know. But needless to say, Heidi is a very, very high earner, and she's around high earners a lot. And I don't know if you know this about ladies, but ladies of any kind of sexual proclivity, my understanding is statistically, if a lady makes a lot of money, they have a really hard time finding a mate.
Interesting. I think I have heard that. I've never known it to be true or not true. I suppose it comes from the fact that it sounds so old school, though, like a guy has to make more money than the girl or something like this. Do you think that's what it comes from?
Yeah, but my understanding is even for like a lesbian, it's still the same issue. I could be wrong. This is sort of anecdata, but I've heard it's even whether you're hetero or homosexual, it's the same. Like you're a high earning lady. It's a hard time. You have a hard time finding somebody.
Okay.
So Heidi is our bisexual friend, and she's very interested in a couple ladies right now to date.
She's looking for some action.
She's looking for some action, and she finds it in a wonderful lady she meets named Thea.
Thea
is almost in all the good ways Heidi's opposite. She's extremely altruistic, very, very mission driven, but not at all about the monies, more about the missions.
Mm-hmm.
So Thea is what we call an environmental lawyer. Her job is to basically save the planet.
Okay, so she sounds pretty high powered as well.
But you know how much an environmental lawyer makes?
Comparatively, probably a pittance.
Yeah, unfortunately. One would hope that the salaries would be reversed, but alas, often it is not the case. So Heidi earns an unbelievable amount of money, like many, 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 many monies, and Thea does not.
Okay.
Sadly, the nature of Thea's job, because she's dealing with our dying planet, her job is very, very stressful. So Heidi and Thea have hit it off. They're dating for a good couple months and they're enjoying their time together, but there's some trouble on the horizon.
Okay.
Thea's stress relief strategies involve something that is giving Heidi a conniption. And I want you to see if you can figure out the common thread and what Thea's into. Thea, the environmental lawyer.
Okay.
So Thea really likes single malt whiskeys that are at least 20 years old, sometimes up to 50 years old.
Whoa.
She really, really digs top of the line, like brand new release exclusive number motorcycles. for guitars, the more obscure and handmade, the better. And she cannot resist like weed in large quantities.
So. Okay, that's an interesting mix. I'm thinking some of the things sound not very good for the planet, like the motorbikes.
Yeah.
And also, it all sounds terribly expensive for someone on a limited budget.
Funny that. Yes, it is all extremely expensive. And Thea's like, listen, Heidi, you make a ton of money and I need to relax because I'm busy picking up the mess that your clients are making and trying to save this planet and keep it habitable for the rest of it.
Fuck off. Yeah.
Okay. Well, okay. That's sort of Heidi's reaction too. After a couple of months, she's like, yeah, I'm not your cash register. This is not going to work out. We need to break up. Oh. So things don't work out with Miss Thea.
Right. Okay.
So back to the drawing board for Heidi. And she goes, okay, well, that was a mistake. Clearly, I need to date someone who does not have expensive taste. So note to self, don't find that person. Avoid that person, right?
Unless they're rolling in money as well and whatever. Yeah, okay.
Exactly. Unless they can bring that to the table. But the heart wants what it wants, right? So a couple months later, after Heidi has been nursing her broken heart and she feels like she's ready for love again, a wonderful dark-haired, dark-eyed beauty named Clara catches her eye at the bar.
Mm-hmm.
And Clara makes great conversation, dresses immaculately, just top to bottom. All the details are taken care of, like really, really like.
Yeah. Boom, boom, boom. Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom. Like, you know, someone who's just got their shit together.
Yeah.
And Heidi goes, you know, this person just looks like someone who's just a rollicking success in life and maybe can understand the kind of pressures that I'm under and can keep pace, you know?
It's really funny how she's intellectualizing attraction, but okay. Or is that you?
Projecting a little bit. No, this is not me. Nope. Heidi goes, you know, and the conversation flows and Clara's really smart. And again, like just really on top of everything, very well read. And Heidi's like, oh my God, she's just perfect in every way. So I must know more about you, please. You know, like, let's
hubba hubba.
Let's just fast forward. Things work out between Heidi and Clara, but Clara keeps details about her life at first a little close to the chest, and Heidi's like, oh, this is actually kind of promising, because when you make a lot of money, you don't usually tell people up front.
No.
And Heidi does the same thing. She's kind of like, I do all right. Yeah. And Clara's sort of given the same, like, you know, I manage.
As she takes off in her brand new Tesla. Yeah, yeah.
that part doesn't happen. But so a couple weeks into their very early relationship, eventually they start having the real, like, okay, so what do you do? Like, tell me the real deal on your job. And Heidi reveals that she is an executive productivity consultant. You know, she's not going to name names, but maybe Richard Branson is in her orbit. Ha, ha, ha. And Claire's like, oh, wow. That's amazing. I mean, I've met him once at my job, but he came in to visit and Heidi's intrigued. She's like, really, Clara? So what does that mean? And Clara says, well, I'm a retail assistant.
At a boutique or something.
At a very nice boutique clothing store.
Uh-huh.
And Heidi has the light bulb moment of like, that's why Clara is so well-dressed, because she gets the employee discount. Uh-huh. Yeah, it makes sense because Clara is dirt poor.
Huh. Okay. But she's not a gold digger like Thea seemed to be.
Not at all. That's the great thing. Heidi's really happy about that. Like, Clara does not have expensive taste.
Right.
Clara's very happy to make do with her lot in life. She's just kind of like, yeah, this is fine. I don't need a lot to be happy in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And Heidi's like, that's really great. I'm really glad to hear it. And Clara's like, yeah, I'm around people who make a lot of money all the time. I don't want to be like that. And Heidi's like, you know, those are great values. I really appreciate that. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with working retail. If that's what you want, that's great. So a couple of
Heidi
months
sounds
past,
snobby. Okay. A couple days later.
Give it a couple months. We're a couple months in. And, you know, Heidi makes, let's say, five times the amount that Clara does. So like there's like two extra zeros on her salary compared to what Clara makes. Right. And Heidi, because of what she earns, she'll be the first to admit she likes the nice things, the finer things in life. And she doesn't want to become the sugar mama. But she's finding that Clara, because she has her principles, she doesn't want to do anything. So concerts are out of the question. Unless you're willing to sit in the back balcony, a slightly obscured view, last minute nosebleed seats. Like, so there's no orchestra seats for these concerts. There's nothing up front near the stage. Dinner is going to be whatever you can make at home. Maybe the local sort of the takeout joint. You are not going to fancy Michelin star dinners with Clara. She's not comfortable with that. It's too fancy for her blood.
Oh, right. So she doesn't enjoy it even if Heidi picks up the tab and, you know.
She would not enjoy it because Heidi is picking up the tab. It goes against her principles. Like, she doesn't want to be sugar mama'd. So, you know, Heidi has sometimes offered, like, yeah, let me pay for that. It's okay. And Clara's like, nope, I can't afford it. We're not doing it.
Right. And, you know, there is this adage when you told no, right? Like, so if I say to you, let's go to the movies, you say no, then we don't go, right? I might go with someone else or on my own. But no always trumps yes somehow, right? It's very irritating.
Yeah, because Heidi's trying to be like, well, you know, I don't mind picking up the tab. I respect your principles, but, you know, it's really okay. I make a lot of money and this is something I really want to do. And Clara's like, I'm uncomfortable with that. So the holidays are coming, the summer holiday plan season. So I don't know about when you start planning your summer holidays, but me, I'm like almost a year ahead of time.
July.
Yeah. Oh, bless you. For me, for like August plans, I'm planning in January.
But you have a child, so you have even to pre-trial. Take that into account. Yeah.
Even pre-trial, this is how I was. I need to know way in advance that I've got something. So I'm just like,
Working towards something fantastic. Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
that's kind of how
I am. And I'm just going to put it out there. Heidi's the same way in this case. So she's trying to plan in January her summer holidays.
Mm-hmm. And she's like, the Amalfi Coast. What about Barbados?
Yeah, and you know, again, I want to go to like a nice resort. Not a resort, sorry. That's the wrong phrase. I want to go to a nice exclusive boutique hotel where there's not many people and we've got a private beach. And everything, maybe it's not all inclusive, but the staff will basically be out of our way and make sure we have everything we need. I'm going to have all these exclusive experiences, like we're going to rent a boat. We're going to have a private tour guide. So we make sure we're not harassed by touts or whatever, you know, all that kind of thing. And again, Clara is just, you know, no, I can't do it. And this is causing a fight. So Heidi she doesn't want to break up with Clara because she likes everything else about her. But this is becoming an issue. So if you're Heidi, what do you do?
I'm kind of, when you were talking, I was thinking Heidi could just go, hey, I would like to do something this summer. I would like you to be my special guest. Will you come with me? It's a surprise.
Yeah.
Right? And if they is like, I'm not going if it costs more than $250, then I kind of think it's written in the cards. Like, Heidi's not going to fly with that, or doesn't seem to want to fly with that. Like, she wants to spend, she doesn't want to give all her money away to some good cause and live the life of, you know,
a monk.
Limited means. I mean, she could, and I'd have a little respect for her for that, but she doesn't want to do that. She wants to go and be she and la la, and Thea doesn't. So she's kind of screwed, right? She's kind of screwed. She's got to decide between money and Clara, no?
Yes, and Heidi tries to find a middle path.
Okay, good.
So she tries to find a middle path. She thinks, well, the issue is that Clara won't do things unless she sort of feels that she's on equal footing and has earned the money that we would then spend, even though, you know, I'm volunteering to pay for it. She just doesn't want to do it. So Heidi thinks, well, what if I get Clara a job that pays a lot of money? Like, what if I can get her a job at my firm? And so Heidi mentions
without
this to Clara.
Talking. Oh, she does mention it. Okay,
she does mention to Clara. So they have a little discussion, and so Clara's listening very intently, and she's like, "Yeah, I know I could do your job, but frankly, that sounds like too much work and I don't want to be bothered."
Right.
And Heidi's heart sinks. Of all of the problems that they've been having, especially about money, Heidi realizes the thing that's really bothering her about Clara is a little less the money and a little more the lack of ambition.
Yeah. You see, I have a problem with that because
really?
What are people supposed to be ambitious about? I get if you have a goal, right? Like, if I wanted to be number one podcaster in the whole wide world.
You already are, though, girl.
But I would put a lot of effort into that, right? It would be a full-time job to be working that really hard. And I have a lot of respect for people that kind of go, look, you know, I work to live, and I love to live. So, I don't know, there's an expression, but I don't have it right.
Yeah. You live to work, work to live.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. Yeah. Sorry, there you yep. go.
No, I followed. Yeah.
Right? So she thinks she has it all down. She's like, I've got loads of money. I know the best way. I can get you loads of money. Isn't that great? Then we'll all be happy because I can go to the dinner places and the resorts I want to go to. Like, fuck off. I don't know. It's a bit.
Mm-hmm.
What do you reckon?
Well, Clara agrees with you. And actually, after that conversation, Clara realizes this won't work out and she breaks up with Heidi.
Well, there you go. I'm not surprised. Welcome to Dumpsville population, Heidi.
Yeah, Heidi, figure out your shit.
You know what? Yeah, Heidi's loaded enough. She can go get one of those posh find me a partner people that costs like $100,000 a year.
That's true. And she might end up seeing that there's a mirror being held up to her when she's trying to date somebody who's similar.
Yeah.
And
how attractive is this, Heidi?
Yeah. Oh, no. My comeuppance. It's too much. Okay. Yeah. All right, Curl, regale me with your sticky pickle,
the bucket list.
Hopefully mine is a delightful mush.
Yeah, mine was
well.
Like a pickle relish. Yeah.
Bucket list. Okay, so we have Electra and Stan. Okay.
Electra, my aunt's name. Yes.
Oh, well,
this might make it funny.
They've been a couple for 5 years and they're starting to talk about having kids, but they've been putting it off, trying to get a few big items off their bucket list ticked off. Right?
Yep.
For example, they did a stint at Habitat for Humanity, helping to build houses after a big storm. Tick.
Mm-hmm.
They went skydiving in Santa Barbara the next year. Tick.
Fun.
They even, one year when they were quite poor, they ate dinner with their hands tied behind their backs. So, you know, they live in the dream.
Wait. What?
Have you never done that?
Is that a reference to something? Is that a thing?
Again with the things.
Yeah, but like, is eating pudding with three fingers, is that a thing for somebody? Like, I don't.
Listeners, let us know. Now, tonight, one of Stan's closest friend, Arthur, and his wife, Camilla, are coming over for just an easy night, takeaway and game night. This couple, Arthur and Camilla, are a little older, already have the kids. And they're an interesting couple. Camilla is like hilarious, but also kind of good looking. Like knocks at like an 8 or, you know, or a 9 on the 1 to 10 scale. You know, she's got this caramel skin and chocolate eyes and, you know, has all these braids that she wears really high up in her head.
Okay. All right.
And Stan's like kind of the opposite, quiet, small, bookish man, but loved by everyone because he's so, you know, like unusually kind and considerate. And these two have always been a fab couple to hang out with, Courtney, Electra, and Stan, right? They're easygoing, full of giggles, and, you know, there's always a little pepper of gossip. But tonight, as they come in through the door, they say things are off, right? Arthur looks like, I don't know.
The vibes are off. Yeah.
Yeah. He looks like a little nervous, uncomfortable. Camilla looks a little annoyed, though, of course, still perfectly radiant. Bitch. No, I'm kidding. And you know what I mean, right? But, you know, you have people over or you go to their place and the something's up and the energy is all off. You know, it's weird and not comfy. And you feel it. You feel
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yep. Sometimes it's like somebody had a fight and you didn't know about it and you're kind of walking into it and they're still mad at each other kind of feeling.
And it's a killer. You know, if you're looking forward to a good evening, that can really, you know, especially if, you know, I don't know. Anyway, so Electra and Stan initially decide to try and ignore it. Because, you know, they both eyebrow waggled each other going, oh, something's up. And, you know, just assume there's unfinished business between Camilla and Arthur. But it gets, you know, too hard to ignore. Because Camilla, for example, who's super chatty normally, is answering with like, yes, no, clipped answers. You know, whenever Arthur asks her anything. But she's being super pleasant to the host, though.
Okay, yeah.
The problem is kind of Arthur. He just looks a bit, I don't know, shell-shocked or I don't know. It's just bugging. Sorry, name check. It's bugging Electra a little bit, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, everyone rubs along for the first hour, but by hour two, it starts to grate, you know, and in the kitchen, Electra whispers to Stan, what is going on? And he just shrugs, you know, and says, look, I think we should just ride this out. It's almost over. They'll be gone in a few hours.
Yeah, sometimes just maybe, you know, the argument in the car is still just weighing on their mind. Maybe they got some bad news. Somebody got laid off. Somebody's sick back home. Like, you know, mom's not feeling well. You know, something like that. Yep. Who knows?
But this is not the Electra way.
This is not the Electra way.
You know, she has a breaking point, and the mood feels like it's getting more, not less, tense, you know, as they talk and chat and play Scrabble. It's So she blurts out finally. She goes, "Guys, what's going on? This isn't like you. We love you guys so much. Arthur, I just want to hug that look off your face. And Camilla, you look..." She pauses. She goes, "Perplexed. Can we help?" And immediately Camilla says, "Well, actually, yes, I think you could help."
Okay.
Right? And says it emphatically and looking directly at Arthur, her eyes like kind of wide and like, "You see?" And she's like, "Why can't I ask them?" And poor Arthur looks like a rabbit in the headlights. Stan pipes up and goes, "Guys, what do you need? Do you need money?
Okay.
Do you need babysitting? Do you need my lawnmower? You guys are our close friends. You know, you can ask us anything." And Camilla stands up shouting, "You see, I told you, it's all going to be fine. It's okay to ask." Finally, he goes, okay, fine. "I just want to make sure that our friendship isn't affected." And as he says this.
Oh, no.
What are you worrying about?
Are they going to ask for a third? Or they might say, "Hey, could you be our surrogate or baby surrogate or something?" Like, that's a sweet question, I suppose.
And then Camilla says, "As you know, you guys are one of our closest friends and we love you so much. And well, we know I," she says kind of accusingly, you know, to Arthur, "think you should know that we've decided to make a few changes in our lives."
Okay. That's very grand announcement, you know. we've decided to make a few changes. Okay. Because this has been like a text message.
I know, but like maybe they're getting divorced, maybe whatever, right? They're going to adopt, like something, right?
Yeah.
And
they have no idea. Everybody else has no idea.
No.
Like not even a guess.
Nothing. They're just waiting.
Like, are they pregnant? Okay, no. Okay.
She reaches out her hand. Camilla reaches out her hand and Arthur takes it.
Yeah.
And she looks at her guest and goes, "We want to try our hands at swinging. And we are wondering whether you two would like to swing with us."
"Would you like to swing on a star?" Oh, man, they're nervous about it.
And what happens at this stage is something happens simultaneously.
Yeah.
"I'm in." "One for the bucket list," blurts Electra.
Really?
And Arthur's like, "What the fuck? You guys crazy?" So,
are they all sober during this conversation? Because my understanding is when this question is asked, usually everybody is blitzed. Okay, they're sober.
Yeah, and then you could always blame the alcohol. Oh, I don't know. I was drunk. Who cares?
Inhibitions and such. So, wow. Okay, they're sober and having a very serious conversation about swinging.
Yeah.
And we're all clear on what definition of swinging is.
Yeah, I don't think they're talking about the swing set at their house.
Like key party kind of thing.
Yeah. Stan suddenly jumps up and he's like, "You see, Camilla, you see, now it's all fucking weird." And he turns to Arthur. "Arthur, I'm so sorry. I knew this was too insane to work." And Arthur's like, "What, you want this? Seriously? With us? Are you saying you fancy my wife or you fancy me? Like, you, all this time you guys have been friendly with us when yes. really you just want to get into our pants?" And Camille, a little sharply, because she doesn't like anyone yelling at Arthur, says, "Well, you're both very attractive people." And then she comes down and goes, "But why not? We were thinking you could come to ours. We'll make a bit of dinner. We'll have some wine. We'll see what happens." So, Maria, over to you, my gorgeous friend.
Yeah.
You, imagine you're sitting on that little couch with your hubs.
So, offense is being taken on the askies a little bit. He sounds a little offended, like you only got close to us because you wanted to get into our pants kind of feeling.
Yeah.
Okay, having been on that receiving end of that kind of a request.
Shut up.
Not to swing.
Okay.
Not to swing, to be clear. But like when somebody kind of reveals that like they've been playing the long game at trying to get at you sexually, it does feel a little bit of a betrayal.
Yeah.
However, it's not really, I'm not sure it's totally clear if that's what happened here, but that seems to be how it's being received. Yeah. And that can be very hard to take.
I don't know. So, but also what's happened is Stan's looking at Electra a little bit surprised with her, you know, because like, this is not some strangers.
Yeah. You don't just blurt like, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it also would be weird on the flip side to go, you know what? I'm going to take that into consideration. We're going to circle back and get back and review. And maybe we can arrange a call for next week and then talk about if we can come to an arrangement.
Vis-a-vis the...
That also doesn't feel right. But yeah, I don't know. I at the very least be like, can we take a beat and maybe talk about it, the two of us first? Because, you know, this only affects our marriage.
yeah, it'd be more like, huh, interesting. We'll have to sleep on that.
We'll think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to sleep on it without the two of you, just to be clear.
Just the two of us.
Just the two of us. Yeah, but even just the asking can ruin a friendship for
sure. But that sucks, doesn't it? It does suck in a way, because you'd like to think, like, it's okay to ask anything. You know, people can say no. That's the issue. Like, people can say no. There are things that people can ask where it gets complicated, isn't it?
Like, yeah, it can really, it so depends, though, because, like, if it feels like the only reason they were interested in you to begin with is they were hoping that this would be sort of, like, the way things would go, and you're just, like, this whole time you've just been sort of going, yeah, whatever, let me get into your pants, that's the part where you go, oh, no, that doesn't feel good.
Yeah. Well, Camilla kind of ruins it slightly because she goes, well, what the hell, guys? I thought you had a bucket list. I thought you were trying to do fun things before you had kids. Isn't this a fun idea?
Yeah. Well, that's not going to work. Trying to like guilt slash.
It just gets awkward, doesn't it?
Awkward. Yeah. If I yell at you, you'll sleep with me. That I don't think that method has ever worked for anybody. So
yelling them into bed.
But keep trying it. Maybe it will. Listeners, have you ever successfully browbeaten someone into sleeping with you? Please let us know. I want to hear the details.
And that's it for this episode of Sticky Pickles. If we made you smile, you know what to do. Get off your butts and review.
And thank you to the folks who have joined our Patreon. We love you. Thank you for helping us pay for the bills. We had more people join since last week, so yay, that makes me super happy. The more people that join, maybe we'll start doing Patreon exclusives. Carole and I are cooking up some ideas on that front. That Patreon is at patreon.com/stickypickles, so pretty easy. Social media is the place to get in touch with us. We are at Sticky Pickles on Twitter and at Sticky Pickles Pod on Instagram, and hashtag Sticky Pickles on the Fediverse. So if you're on Mastodon or something else, you can find us that way. Anything else you can find on stickypickles.com.
Yes. Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye. And now I got to go run again. Love you. Bye. Bye.
Love you more. Bye. 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 Bye.
Bye. Bye.